I'm going to do something I don't do very often, but I think this time it was, I had a couple of emails and one phone call from one of my shows about, I did a thing on tomatoes. It was either last week or week before, but it was a little bit deeper than most, pardon the pun, a little bit deeper than most people go into tomatoes. And they liked it, but I don't know if they didn't copy it or they don't know how to find it. Maybe, I don't know, you know, they should be able to come to me and let me send it to them. But they asked me if I'd rerun it. They were going to tell some friends to listen. So this is another, this is tomato time, folks. There's no doubt about it. And so this is going to give you a little bit more, a little bit of a different, it's an all organic, all natural approach now. This is a little different that you're going to read on the back of the Scotts fertilizer bag. I promise you that. But anyway, you'll take a listen to it. I'll also add a little bit at the backside because this works equally well with a few other vegetables. And once you get on to the, I don't want to use the word trick, once it becomes your norm, you'll be amazed at how much more productive certain parts of your garden will become with just a few more minutes a week. And always try to remember, I tell everybody, everybody can garden. Well, we don't have time. If you will put 15 minutes a day, come home in the evening, do it in the morning, if you happen to be at home, lunch, 15 minutes a day. Come on, folks. Maybe even skip a couple days. Let's say an hour a week of real time in your garden. You will be amazed at how much food, not just the quality, which is much better grown organically and growing your own, but the quantity. I've done this in my life, believe it or not. I've planted a few too many squashes, and I have to wait for the neighbor to leave so I can leave them a box of squash on their porch. So, because you don't want to waste the food. So anyway, give this a listen, a little bit of kind of old-fashioned, I think I first wrote this or did it 20 years ago, just how you grow homegrown tomatoes. For the gardening conversation for this part of the show, let's talk about what I usually do every year. Matter of fact, one of the most fun times I ever had is every year my friend and I, Bob Webster, would say, how many times are we going to tell everybody how to plant a tomato? But believe it or not, successful planting of tomatoes is not quite as simple as it is. It's not a real complicated situation, but you want to get the right tomatoes. I happen to like heirlooms. You want to decide if you're going to have a determinate or indeterminate tomato. The difference with that is the determinates were actually bred, hybridized, to all come due at one time. It's more like a commercial grower. You want to get all your tomatoes in, get them all out at the same time, then that plant is really spent. It's kind of gone, and you replant. Whereas if you get indeterminates and you take care of them, they can go through several seasons. You'll get tomatoes kind of staggered along as you go. There's some people that think the determinates are better. Some think indeterminates. I like the indeterminates myself. They're a more normal tomato for me, and I don't need bunches. I'm not trying to be in the tomato business. One fact you should be aware of with your tomatoes is, unlike a lot of other plants, you can actually plant the tomato deeper than you've got it, especially if you either grew your own seed or you bought them already in those little pre-pots. I always go to the top of the first two leaves, the monocots, the leaves that first come on when it's growing, and I get those underground. I actually even kind of take them off, and I'll go that deep, even if it matters laying the tomato on the side a little bit, because, again, the tomato is one of these plants. It'll just improve its roots. It'll just become part of the plant. Some things, if you plant them too deep, it's actually not healthy for the plant. That tomato is not that way. Number two things you should do that are not often told about in this part of the country, where you're hearing me right now, you probably ought to find something called soft rock phosphate. Now, you don't want the real chemical phosphates. They're too hot. They'll burn. But you can buy soft rock phosphate in most at any decent commercial outlet that carries natural and organic products. And you want to literally take a little tablespoon, a handful, whatever, dig your hole and put that little bit of soft rock right in the hole. Don't mix it in the soil. This sounds counterintuitive. You want it right there where those roots go, right on that phosphate when you put it in the ground. I usually don't put fertilizer right in the hole You'll understand that in a little bit. I go ahead and cover that now with that rock phosphate right there with the roots of the plant that's been soaked, incidentally. I always soak my tomatoes to get them out of those little containers. I don't like the instant containers that are supposedly fall apart because they don't fall apart very well. And they cause your roots to either circle or get too concentrated before that peat pot goes away. So get your plant out of the pot, get it in the ground, pack it around it pretty good. Again, deeper is just fine. Go ahead up to at least to those first beginning leaves is the easiest way to say it. Pack it. The only other thing I do at first, sounds a little interesting, but it works. And then again, this part of the country, and I'll explain that in a minute why. Go buy some Epsom salts. Yes, folks, like you soak your feet in, like you may take a bath in, like they are magnesium sulfate. Because of the alkalinity of our soils and almost everywhere you hear this show, we need that magnesium and that sulfur helps it break. It makes it more available to the plant. And I just put it right on top of the ground as a granule and I water it in as I'm watering those plants in thoroughly, and they will get to the roots. It's amazing how much they give that plant a boost. So after you've spread your Epsom salts around, okay, then water that whole system. Even though you've already soaked the roots to get them in the ground, water everything one more time really good. Now, my method for watering might be a little different than you've been told. When I water tomatoes, I water them very well, but I don't water them really often. I think the right sentence is you can't water them too much at the time you water, hardly ever, but you can water them too often. So make yourself a schedule where you can't go by, well, every third day or every, because what happens if humidity doubles for 3 days? What happens if the sun doesn't shine or the sun shines constantly? All makes a difference. You need to do the, I call it the dirty finger method. Get your finger, go into the ground. I go to about the first joint of my finger. And if it's dry down that far, then I water thoroughly. But if it's damp, especially if you got soil sticking to the bottom of that first joint of your finger, you might want to wait a few days. Tomatoes actually come from an arid part of the world, the original ones. Most of the ones that have successfully been grown by us. The original ones were out of Peru. Now there's even wild tomatoes. I'll tell this story next. I lived in a place called Galapagos, Ecuador, and one of the scientists came out there. His search, it was literally in search of the wild tomato of Galapagos. So tomatoes they're a nightshade. They go a lot of places. But anyway, the ones that we grow are kind of on the dry side. They're not really a swamp tomato, although some of the newer varieties of the little cherries and things will grow almost anywhere. One of the best plants I ever went to crop from was I owned a store in San Antonio called Roadrunner Photo, and the next door was a pizza place. And in their pavement, the actual pavement in the back, I guess the seeds had dropped from them taking out pizzas and all that. Some of the best cherry tomatoes I ever saw were growing through the pavement in the back of that store. So anyway, that might be more than you want to know about tomatoes, but remember, get your soft rock phosphate. There's still people that you can get it from, any good organic outlet. Get yourself some Epsom salts. Yes, you can use an organic fertilizer at some point. Oh, I like Medina's products, but there's a bunch of them. You can make your own. But anyway, that's sort of it. All you need to know to grow a successful tomato. It might even be more than you want to know just to grow a homegrown tomato. But I do want to add here, which I didn't do the first time I did this particular little piece of the show, this works well on any of the nightshades, other plants that you grow, tomatoes, potatoes. It's the same system. And the reason this works well is in this area, and these shows are done for where I put the shows, we always have alkali soil were usually a little drier than most places. And so this method of setting them in, now the only difference you can't do, some plants, tomatoes can be put deeper. I mentioned that earlier in the show, and they'll still do fine. Some plants, if you plant them too deep, you actually could cause them to have some problems. So the rest of them, you should plant at about the height they're in the pot that you got them in. But for nightshades, tomato being one of those, it actually benefits from getting that first set of leaves down under the ground because it helps convert to a larger root system. But if you're going to plant squash, this system works just as well. Any of your other greens, I happen to love Swiss chard. The reason is it tastes good. A lot of people like it. If you get one called rainbow, it's probably one of the prettiest. It's as pretty as any of the ornamentals you've ever grown. If you've grown things like caladiums, wherever you used to grow a caladium, start growing rainbow Swiss chard. Now, it's not going to get quite as big and tall as it will in full sun because caladiums grow in open shade or partial sun. But you can replace it with an edible garden vegetable. This, in this case, Swiss chard. If you've got a fence line, you used to put blue morning glories. Get one of your beans. Get a bean that you like or a pea that you like. I don't care which one. I use hyacinth beans because they have beautiful, deep purple, orchid almost looking flowers. Then they put out this wonderful purple pea or bean that is perfectly edible. But you could also use sweet peas, sugar peas, and you take your fence it's still beautiful, you're still going to get flowers, but you now turn part of your yard into part of your garden. And I've done this, not a few, but dozens of years through my children, now my children's children. And you can do a dozen or so of these, put some little cherry tomatoes out where ordinarily you were going to put your lantana, for instance. Instead of putting the lantana out, put out cherry tomatoes. They're beautiful. They put on, even into the hot summer, you've got little flowers, but what you've really got is a plant full of really edible, beautiful, bright yellow, bright red. They even make a black-looking or a dark, almost purple grape tomato, I guess is what they'd call it. So right now is the perfect time of the year to be planting right here. So as a different kind of a thought, think of sort of thinking and planting out of the box.